Some say it's an abstract principle, an impersonal force. Somebody said it's a fluid-like substance. Some think it's an angel or a subordinate divine being, a third person, the triune Godhead. There's a lot of different ideas about who the Holy Ghost is. But I want to turn tonight to the one definitive book that I believe can answer for us who the Holy Ghost is. Because he authored this book. And I think it can tell us better than anybody else who the Holy Ghost is. And so we want to take a look tonight then at the Word of God and find the biblical definition of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. I know traditional Pentecostals, we use the word Holy Ghost a lot. People today, a lot of people use the Holy Spirit. That's fine. Actually, the Greek word is the same. It's the same translation. Most modern translations use the word Holy Spirit more than Holy Ghost. King James uses the Holy Ghost a lot. But it doesn't matter. The Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit is the same word exactly. There's absolutely no difference. So if somebody says Holy Spirit, don't worry about that. They're correct. If somebody says Holy Ghost, don't worry about that. They're correct. It's exactly the same. It comes from the very same Greek word. And however you want to say it is fine. And so it's exactly the same word. The Holy Ghost is simply this. It's God in spiritual activity. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It's not a separate God. It's not a different God. It's just simply God in spiritual activity. First of all, we know that God is holy. Isn't that right? Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 5 says that God is the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One. That's his definition. He's the Holy One of Israel. That defines God's moral being. He's holy. The word holy, of course, means that he is separate. He's set aside. He's distinct from others. Amen. And so God is simply holy. That defines who our God is. And God is holy in himself. He's the only one that is holy in himself. We can be holy. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, be ye holy, even as your Father is holy. Or God is holy. Isn't that right? But you see, we cannot be holy by ourselves. We are only holy by his help and by his grace and by his influence. Jesus told Peter, he said, what I have cleansed, let no man call common or unclean. God can make us holy. Remember what he told Moses. He said, take off your shoes because the ground where you're standing is holy. Why is it holy? Because God can take something as common as dirt and make it holy because he's there. God can take a barn and make it a holy place. Amen. There are people that worship in barns, and that's okay. Amen. God can make a barn holy. I know people that would go every Sunday morning, they'd go early so they could clean out all the beer cans and the beer bottles at the VFW hall so they could have church there because they're trying to get a church going, and that's the only building they could find. So they'd get all that junk out, and in that old smoky, stinky atmosphere, they'd have church and people to get the Holy Ghost. God would make that place holy while they were there because his people were there. And he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So God can take a place like that and he can make it holy. I went to a church while I was on deputation. It was right out in the middle of the cemetery. It's where they held funerals. But that's the only place. That is a great inspiration, you know. Folks look around, and when you went in and when you left, it reminded you of your mortality. Amen. Of course, later on, they built a church building, but God can take any place and make it holy because he's holy. And so God is the only one that is holy in himself. Everything else needs God's presence to be made holy. So God then is holy because that is his moral nature. That is God's character. And so that is one of God's fundamental attributes, is His holiness. We know that. And then secondly, God is also a spiritual being. That's one of God's attributes, is His spirituality. John chapter 4, verse number 24, tells us that God is spirit. And when you read that in your Bible, it'll say God is a spirit, and the A will have it'll be italicized, because that means it was added so you would understand a little bit better. But it's not really in the original, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the meaning. But God is spirit. That defines His essence. That defines His nature. God in His non-moral attributes is spiritual. Amen. God acts as a spirit. God's works are spiritual. And so God in action then is its spiritual work. Isn't that right? God works by His Spirit. We know that from Genesis chapter 1. Amen. That God works in a spiritual way. And that's how God works. And that's His. So when God then in His non-moral attribute is a spirit. So then we have God's moral nature, which is holy, and God's spiritual nature. So He is a holy spirit. So it does not define another aspect of God. It's just simply that's what God is. When He's working, it's God with His work clothes on, I guess we could say. Amen. Because He's spiritual. God is spirit. That's exactly what He is. Amen. So we see that then in His spiritual nature. Peter, when he was talking to Ananias and Sapphira, remember Acts chapter 5, he said, first of all, he said they had lied to the Holy Ghost. And then, a little bit later, he says, in the fourth verse, he said they lied unto God. So which one did they lie to? Well, we know that they're the same. They're not two distinct persons. Amen. But the God is Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit of God. And so the Bible uses them interchangeably because they're one. It's not any hard thing. Paul did something similar when he wrote to the Corinthians. In First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, he said, what? Know you not that you are the temple of God? He said, you are the temple of God. And then in the 6th chapter, 19th verse, he said, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, which are we? Obviously, it's the same, isn't it? God is Spirit. Holy Spirit. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're just simply talking about God in spiritual activity. It's just really a simple thing if we don't make it too complicated, which some of us are prone to do. Amen. And then the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of the Lord. All capital letters. When you see in your Bible L-O-R-D and it's all capital letters, it means Jehovah. If it was a literal translation, it would say Jehovah or Yahweh, however you want to say that. And that's what it would be. But the way King James translates it is capitalized, all capitals, L-O-R-D. When you see L and just the smaller letters, it's Adonai. It's a different Greek word. It's talking about the same one, but it just differentiates from the name Jehovah and the title Adonai. So, in this case, it says the Spirit of the Lord, or Jehovah, and then it also talks about the Spirit of God, and it talks about that is God's Holy Spirit. So all of those are references to the same Spirit, isn't it? It's about the Spirit of Christ. And all of those are references to one and the same Spirit. Just simply God in spiritual activity. God working. That's why all those verses are there, and it's just speaking of God's spiritual essence. That's all it's trying to explain to us, and so we don't want to get it in any way confused. Corinthians also talks about the spirit of man. Now, each of us here tonight has a spirit. That's why you're alive. When your spirit leaves, life leaves your body. But as long as you have a spirit in your body, human spirit, you will have life. When the human spirit leaves, your body will die. But as long as we have that, we live. We do not differentiate between our spirit and us, do we? We're one, aren't we? How many do you see up here tonight? Standing in the pool. If you see more than one, get some glasses or change what you've been drinking. Because there's just one up here. This is it. Amen. I do have a spirit, and I do have a soul, and I do have a body, but you'll just see one. And God is the same. When we talk about His spirit, it's not different than His body. We'll talk about His body in a minute. But God is just simply one. His spirit is not separate from His identity or His personality. Amen. Corinthians puts it like this. It said, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" Okay? Because you're a human being, you understand things as a human being. You can understand human things because you're a human being. And then the scripture says, and this is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." So, then the only way that we can know things about God is if we have the Spirit of God. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. That's how we know spiritual things. Before you became a spiritual being and received the Spirit of God in your life, you didn't understand spiritual things. Isn't that right? I didn't. Amen. But now that I have the Spirit of God in me, I can understand spiritual things. Before I had the Spirit of God, I really didn't care about spiritual things. I only cared about natural things. Isn't that right? Amen. You have friends and family out there that are not spiritual, and what do they care about? They care about natural things. Amen. When they get off on Friday, they're not thinking about, "Oh, we're having almost ready to have church on Sunday morning." They have a saying, TGIF, right? And what does that mean? Party time. Because they're spiritual. They're not spiritual. They think in a natural realm. But when you get the Spirit of God, you begin to think in a spiritual realm. And you begin to think about the things of God. And you understand the things of God. And so a man, as men, we understand by the human spirit, we understand human things. God, as spirit, understands spiritual things. And when we receive the Spirit of God, then we also can receive spiritual things. Amen. But just as, because I have a spirit, I'm not two persons. Neither is God two persons, because He has a spirit in the body. He's still just one God. There's no plurality in Him. He's still just... So why do we need a distinction? The Holy Spirit. And so if the Holy Spirit is God Himself, distinction, what does it mean? Well, again, it simply refers to God in spiritual activity, working in ways that only a spirit can work. Working in ways that only a spirit can work. Amen. There are some things that God can only do by spirit. He cannot do in a physical body. Amen. So, and God works as a spirit. Spirit, it does work and function and make things happen. You remember when Jesus met the woman at the well, and they started talking about worship. And He said, "They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And then He explained the spirit. He said, "The spirit bloweth where," or He's speaking here to Nicodemus, "the spirit bloweth where it listeth," or where it wants to. Amen. And you do not dictate where the wind blows, right? Amen. Now, you can't see the wind. You can see what the effects of wind, but you can't see the wind itself. Amen. If you see a potato chip wrapper blowing, you know there's wind blowing. Amen. I've lived in West Texas, so I have really seen the wind manifest. Amen. I've seen it coming like a red cloud, long ways off. We were driving down the road one day, and I mean, we just got in the car just before it hit. And when it hit, it ever did hit. We drove past a little business that sold tires. They had some tires stacked up there about 4 or 5 high, and that thing blew those tires over and started blowing them down the highway. And they were just rolling right along. They were getting pretty speedy. Amen. I've seen the wind do some very, very interesting things. I've tasted it. Well, at least I tasted the sand. Amen. I've watched it cover everything in the house. Amen. And some of you have been around that. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. I've seen the windmill spin so fast that it'll almost spin the top off of it. It just gets going so fast. Now, wind, it really has an effect, and you can see what it's doing. You can certainly feel it. When it gets down about zero and the wind's blowing about 50 or 60 miles an hour, I promise you'll feel it. You won't be saying, "Where's the wind?" You'll know where it is. Amen. You will definitely feel the wind. Now, the Holy Ghost is the same. You don't see the Holy Ghost. I don't believe in anything I can't see. I don't believe that. How many have ever seen electricity? How many have ever felt electricity? And you don't forget that, do you? If you've ever felt it, you'll never forget. Amen. I can make you a believer real quick that electricity is real. Amen. And yet, we see it manifest here all around us here tonight. Lights and fans and visuals and audio and every direction we see the effects of electricity, although we can't feel it right now. I don't want to. I've already done that. I'm a quick learner. Hope I never feel it again. Amen. So, but I've heard people say, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. I don't believe that, not for a minute. Because every one of them believe in electricity. Amen. They listen to radios, they watch televisions, and those are things they cannot see. But they believe in them because they see the manifestation. I have never seen God. I will not see God until I get to heaven. But when I get there, I will see Him. But until I do, I know He's real because of His effects and what I see around me and what He has done personally in me. So we definitely believe in the Holy Ghost then, don't we? Amen. But there are certain things that God only does in a spirit nature. One of them is creation. Genesis chapter 1 and 1 says, God created the heaven and the earth. In the second verse, it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So, what's the distinction? Why in the first verse is it just simply God says God created? In the next verse, it talks about the Spirit of God. Because God is acting in a creative manner. Spiritual activities of God are recreating, indwelling, sanctifying, and anointing. That's how God works. Those are works of God. It's God in action. And when God works in action, that's a spiritual act of God, work of God, and we experience that. One thing that the Holy Ghost does for us is it regenerates us. When Adam died, in the garden, when Adam sinned in the garden, I should say, he died spiritually. The Spirit of God departed from him. Amen. At Pentecost, the Spirit that Adam lost in the garden came back in the upper room. And people were reborn spiritually again. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad I live on this side of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. I can experience the Holy Ghost tonight. And as an indwelling spirit, a regenerating spirit, sanctifying and anointing spirit. So that's how the Holy Ghost works in us today. Amen. One of the great problems, in my opinion, is understanding the Godhead is the terminology. When we were in Colombia, we tried to get Sheree into a missionary school. There was a school that taught missionary kids, and it was kind of expensive. But my wife is a certified school teacher, so we said, well, my wife will, you know, if you got a place, she can work here and teach one of your classes. She's certified from first to eighth grade, and she can teach any of that. And boy, they needed a teacher, and they were all excited. And so they gave us an application to fill out, and I filled it out. And I came to a question. It said, I believe in God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, I just scratched out one word, changed it. I didn't. All I did is the word persons, I put a line through it, and above it, I wrote manifestation. Nothing wrong with that, right? And I sent it in. And when the board got my application, they rejected us. They wouldn't let my wife teach, and wouldn't let my daughter go to school there. Well, interesting, they said she can come, but she'll have to pay double tuition. Well, the whole idea was to save money. And the man that called me, president of the board, he was such a nice fella. I really liked him. And he said, do you really believe that there's just, you know, one God? And I said, yes, sir. And I told him as kindly as I knew how, I said, the difference in you and me is I can explain to you exactly what I believe about the Godhead. But I said, when you try to explain to me what you believe, you will get to the place and you'll tell me it's a mystery and nobody can understand it. I said, and that's the difference between you and I. Amen. Because we can explain God in manifestations, God in roles, God in relationships. Amen. But you cannot explain God in three persons. That word persons causes a great conflict. And then when you try to separate God into those three persons, amen, and try to reconcile that to the book that says there's just one God, then you really have problems. And the reason is we're trying to use non-biblical terminology to explain God. Why not just let the Bible explain itself? Let's just use biblical terms. When we do that, we won't have any problem explaining who God is. And so, God then is distinct. There are distinctions in the Godhead, and we read about them in Scripture, but they're not persons, but they're just different roles or relationships that God has with humanity. Isn't that right? It's all a part of the great plan of salvation. In order for God to save humanity, in His plan, His wisdom, He devised a plan where God, Spirit, would become a man, flesh. And in order for that to happen, God had to devise a way for the Spirit of God to take on a human form. And in order for there to be a human form, there had to be a Father. Amen. Isn't that true? Every son, there's a father. For every daughter, there's a father. For every human being, there's a father. And God didn't get outside that scope and that plan when He decided to robe Himself in flesh. So then God had to be a father in relationship to the Son. And the activity, or the way that He brought that about, was through the Holy Ghost. Now, right? In the book of Matthew, it talks about that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And so, if God and the Holy Ghost are separate persons, you have a real problem. Because then Jesus has two fathers. But that's not what the Scripture's saying. All the Scripture's saying is God is the Father. But God in spiritual activity, the Holy Ghost, acting in a spiritual nature, overshadowed Mary and conceived a physical body, which we call the Son. Amen. And so it's not impossible to understand that. That's just simply the way that God works in spiritual activity. He does things. That's how God works. It's through His Spirit. And when He's at work, we call it Holy Spirit or God. Amen. And so Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are all references to God working in a salvation plan, in a redemption plan. Amen. As Father, He's the Father of Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ, or the Son, He is our sacrifice and our Savior. Amen. And then, of course, as the Holy Ghost, that's the Spirit of regeneration that regenerates us and saves us and transforms us and empowers us. That's how He works in our lives, is by the Spirit of God. All right. So I hope that's clear to you then what these titles mean. We talk about Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and we're not talking about three separate persons. We're talking about God in different roles. I have thought of it in this fashion, using a personal reference, or any of you. I'm a father tonight. I'm a son. I'm a husband. But I'm just one person. Now, in each of those roles, I'm different. And my role as a father to my daughter, it's different than my relationship as a son to my parents or to my wife as a husband. But I'm still just one person. I can be all of those things and more, but they're still just one person. And God does the same thing. We know God is as the Father in creation, and He's the Father in the flesh of Jesus Christ. He's Father in that role, and as a creative force. And then we know Him in Son as a Redeemer. That's in our redemption. And we know Him in the Holy Ghost as that redeeming, regenerating, empowering force that lives in us. So those are just simply different roles or relationships that God has with us and His creation. So that's what we're trying to, and that's how we're trying to see and understand God tonight. And so we see Him in that way. The Bible identifies the Father and the Holy Ghost as one and the same being. Isn't that right? Okay. The Holy Spirit defines what God is. We've said He's holy and He's spirit. So Holy Spirit simply defines what God is. God is holy and God is spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 4, we know that verse pretty well. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." So then we know that there's just one God. Amen. And the Bible makes that very clear. That's very easily, I think, understandable to all of us tonight, that indeed there is just one God. Amen. John 17 and 3, "And this is the life eternal, that we may know the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." The only true God. Amen. So there's only one true God, and that's Jesus Christ as we know Him. Amen. So there's just one God. And then John 4 and 24 tells us that He, God, is Spirit. So we understand then that that's God's spiritual nature. That's simply telling us who God is. Amen. And understanding His spiritual nature. Matthew chapter 10, and verse number 20 said, "For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." Notice the words here, Spirit of your Father. Well, what is that Spirit of the Father? It's the Holy Ghost, isn't it? So it's just explaining God's non-moral nature, attribute, that God is Spirit. So that makes it, I hope, very plain, easy for us to understand. Amen. So God then is just one. The Scripture talks about the Spirit of Jesus Christ. What is the Spirit of Jesus Christ? Colossians chapter 2 and 9, and most of us could quote that tonight, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In Him, that is Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. So, the Spirit then that was in Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is simply the Holy Ghost. That was the Spirit that indwelled him. He called it Father because that was the role that conceived him. Amen. But the Spirit that indwelled Jesus Christ, it's not different. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ because that Spirit's one. And praise God, that Spirit, now that same Spirit now indwells us. Praise God. The Bible said if the Spirit that was in Christ dwells also in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. That's resurrection power. So the Spirit that was in Christ, which is what? The Holy Ghost, that's what dwells in you and me. And because that same Spirit that dwelled in him on the third day got him up out of the ground, that same Spirit that is in us when the trumpet sounds, whether we're in the ground or whether we're still alive, it's going to get us out of this old world and translate us from mortal to immortal, and immortal, and from flesh to spiritual nature, from earth to heaven. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The Spirit of Jesus Christ, then, the Spirit that was in Christ, is also in us. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 identifies the Spirit of the Lord this way, and said, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, who's the Lord in this verse? Jesus Christ, right? It's speaking of Jesus. And so, and it calls him the Lord, which we do. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So it's identifying Jesus Christ and the Spirit that was in him as being the Holy Ghost. Spirit of the Lord. It's interchangeable. Amen. And so it makes it very understandable, very clear to us that there's just that one Spirit. How does Christ dwell in our hearts today? How can Jesus dwell? And he can't dwell in us in a physical body. Isn't that right? That's why Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I am with you, but I shall be in you. Now, obviously, he cannot dwell in us in a physical body. He dwells in us by a spiritual nature. Amen. And so that's what he was referring to in John chapter 14, verse 17, when he said that he dwells with us, but he shall be in us. So that's how the Spirit of the Lord comes to us today. And that's how the Spirit of Christ indwells us. Amen. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, it said, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Amen. So it's speaking then of our spiritual nature, and the Spirit of God dwells in us. Amen. It's just, and then he says, we have not the Spirit of Christ. He just said the Spirit of God dwells in us, didn't he? And then he said, if we have not the Spirit of Christ. So that's not a contradiction. It's not there to be confusing. It's just simply there to amplify, amen, that the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, are one and the same. So it's not there to in any way be confusing if we just simply understand who the Holy Ghost is. Amen. And so the Spirit of God then dwells in us, and that's who the Holy Ghost is. John 14, verse number 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father. Now this is right before his going to the garden, and then of course to Calvary and the sacrifice, the grave, and he's holding at the Last Supper, and he's given his last words to his disciples. I always feel like when you get to about John chapter 13 of John, you take your shoes off, because that's sure enough holy ground. And then from about chapter 13 on through verse 7 to chapter 17, Jesus has given last instructions And so he speaks this way to his disciples. He said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, what is this another comforter? Another comforter. Amen. Well, there are some people that want to say that it's something different than the Holy Ghost. But I think if we see it really in evidence, we identify it as simply being the Holy Ghost. Verse 17, he goes on to describe it this way. He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Everybody say, ye know him. Now, who are they talking about? Amen. He calls it the Spirit of truth. Who's speaking to them? Jesus Christ is speaking to them. Amen. And he is the Spirit of truth. So he's simply telling them, the one that's speaking to you is the Spirit of truth, which in the verse before that he identified as another comforter. But here he calls the Spirit of truth, and he said, you know him, for he dwelleth with you. Who was dwelling with them? Jesus Christ. And he said, and he shall be in you. Obviously, who dwells in us? The Holy Ghost. Amen. So these are all synonymous terms. He referred to it as another comforter, or paraclete, one who comes alongside to help you in the time of your trouble. And so he said the Holy Ghost is going, that's going to come alongside beside you to help you, and he calls him the Spirit of truth, and he said he's going to be in you. And the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth, isn't it? I believe the Holy Ghost will quicken truth to our understanding. You know, when you hear some preaching sometimes, and it just makes you want to stand up and shout amen. The word amen means so be it. Or that's right. Or sick 'em. I don't know which one. But you know, because you're identifying with it. But have you ever heard some preaching and all of a sudden there was this little sign that went up and said, uh-oh, I'm not sure about that. You know what that is? That's the Spirit of truth. And it's saying, I'm going to check that out. Amen. So, it's okay. This is something Brother Holly used to talk to us about at Bible college. You know, when we were young, I get excited about everything. I mean, as long as somebody's excited, I'd get excited with them. Amen. Brother Paul Hush, after a service one day, I mean, it was exciting, man. I mean, that guy, he did it all. He run the aisles and pews and run over the altars and jump and scream. And I mean to tell you, he did it all. When we got through after service, and we were all excited, Brother Hush said, what did he say? Well, I don't know what he said, but he sure did say it. And it got me to thinking, you know what? When it's all said and done, what did he say? Praise the Lord. That was a real revelation for me. I got to thinking, you know, what did he say? And from then on, I don't know if I got quite as excited anymore, but now I can tell you what people say, because I'm listening to see if they say something. Amen. I really like it when people get with me and jump up and shout and run the aisles and stuff. They hardly ever do. But you know what? I made up my mind that when I preach, I want to say something. So regardless of whether you do that or not, I really don't care, as long as I say something. I'd a lot rather say something to get you excited, and when you leave, you feel good, but you have no idea what I said. Because that feeling won't last. But if we can get the Word inside our hearts, amen, we can get truth inside of us, then that's going to stay. Even when the excitement's gone, that Word will keep you, and it will comfort you and strengthen you. Amen. And so it's important then that we say something. And so Jesus then, he's talking about the Spirit of truth that identifies truth when it hears it and causes us to speak truth. You've had this experience. You know, you get to talking to somebody about the Lord, and all of a sudden you're saying things that you didn't even know that you knew. You're thinking, where'd that come from? Amen. Well, you heard it somewhere, or you read it somewhere. That's why you read the Bible, and that's why you listen to Bible studies and preaching. Because that word comes into you, and you may not even know that you know it. But when you're in a situation where you can use that, the Spirit of truth can reach down, get a hold of it, and it can bring it out. Amen. And you'll be astounded at what you can say. Isn't that what the Scripture said? Jesus said, when you will appear before the council, said, don't worry about what you're going to say. He said, because the Spirit of truth will give you what to say. And that's exactly what happened to Peter and John and Paul. When they were brought before these councils, all of a sudden, this wisdom came out of them. The Bible says that when Peter and John were before the Sanhedrin, I mean, they were saying such profound things that they were scratching their heads. They said, these are ignorant and unlearned fishermen. Where are they getting this stuff? Where's all this coming from? Well, they'd been walking with the Word of God for 3 years. Amen. They ate with Him and slept where He slept and walked where He walked and believed what He said and saw His miracles. No wonder they astounded the elders when they spoke, because it was the Spirit of truth speaking. Praise the Lord. So that Spirit of truth, amen, is the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm with you. Amen. But I'm going to be in you. Hallelujah. And thank God for the Holy Ghost then that comes into us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's the word that's in us tonight is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Amen. I'm not going to leave you. The word comfortless is an interesting word. It's orphans. Orphanos. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. Amen. But I'm going to come to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what He did, wasn't it? He didn't just leave us alone here, but He came to us and did not leave us alone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm glad that He's with us. And not only is He with us, He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. Some people say that when He's talking about the coming of the Comforter and the Holy Ghost, He's talking about the resurrection. Well, if that's so, it would only lasted for 40 days. Amen. And some said it's going to be the second coming. Well, then how can He be with us here today if He's not coming to the second coming? He said that where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. He's here today, isn't He? Praise the Lord. And so we know that's not true. That is the Holy Ghost. And it's now. He said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then in John 16:13, He said, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Amen. The Spirit of truth said He will lead you and guide you into all truth. And then it said, whatever He hears, He'll speak, and He'll show you things to come. And there's a phrase here that's very, very meaningful, and I want to expound just a little bit. It said, for He shall not speak of Himself or from Himself. What that means is that the Spirit of truth is not going to speak independently from the Spirit of God. Amen. Because it is God. So it's not another spirit that's going to speak. Amen. There are some people, spirit-filled people, that seem to think they have some kind of a supernatural authority of their own. I hear people sometimes saying things that God told them to say that kind of conflict with the Scriptures. And God didn't tell them to say it. But sometimes people take spiritual authority upon themselves. Amen. God's Spirit will never contradict His Word. Amen. The Spirit of truth will never contradict the Word of God. So if you ever hear somebody say the Holy Ghost said, and it contradicts the Bible, then God didn't say it. I don't care how spiritual they may seem. They may be walking on water and oil dripping out of their fingertips, walking around with a flame of fire over their head. Doesn't make any difference. If they contradict the Scripture, it's not God. Because the Holy Ghost never speaks. It is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of Christ. So He'll never speak anything contrary to what the Scripture already says. Amen. It's important today that we understand this. I went to school with a guy one time, language school. Once I learned who he was, scared the daylights out of me. He could sing. He could shout. He could cut a rug. I'm telling you, man, he could get with it. He could talk in tongues. Amen. But then one day he said something that put chills in my spine. He said that Bible, I'm paying attention to the Bible. He said, God tells me what to say. I won't even tell you what he said about the Bible. It was too irreverent to even repeat. But he had no reverence whatsoever for the Scriptures. He said, God tells me what to say. Well, we parted company. Amen. Praise God. Anybody that gets too spiritual for the Bible is too spiritual. Amen. You'll never outgrow the Scriptures. Amen. And I don't care how spiritual you are. Amen. You'll never get that spiritual. And the Bible will never contradict itself. The Spirit of God will never contradict itself. Whenever you hear a message in tongues, interpretation, or a prophecy, it must align with the Word of God. If it doesn't, then it's not from God. Everything has to align with the Word of God. Anything that gets outside the bounds of Scripture. I know people say sometimes, well, God gave me a new revelation. Uh-uh. He didn't. Not if it contradicts the Word, He didn't. He can give you illumination. In other words, he can cause something to light up in you to understand it. God can give you inspiration. Amen. But God will never give you revelation that contradicts His Word. Not ever. Amen. The Bible is that which is perfect that has come. And He said in Revelation, if you well remember, He said, if anybody adds to this book or takes away from this book, He said, the curses of this book will be added to him. So God's real serious about His Word. And I always think of it this way. It really bothers me when I say something and somebody twists what I said and make me say something I didn't say. Anybody ever had that happen to you? Does that upset you? Don't you think that would upset God? I'm telling you, it does. The Bible talks about some, doesn't say they wrest the Scriptures to their own destruction. Amen. So when we say God said, you better be sure that God said, and it better align with whatever else God said. Amen. Because if God didn't say, and you said He said, you're going to be in trouble with Him. And He has a long memory. He's not going to forget. Praise the Lord. So you may want to sound spiritual and sound real godly. Amen. But you better be sure that you're in tune with God. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. There is a thing today going around that to me, there's a way too many people saying God said things. And some of the things He said are so trivial, I personally don't think He said it. Sorry, but I just don't think so. I just don't. I don't want to trivialize God. I don't want to make God so common. Amen. Brother Holly used to say, God can tie your shoes, but He won't. Amen. You can tie your own shoes. Amen. You don't get that spiritual, God tying your shoes. Well, don't get me started on that. Amen. A whole lot of stuff going around. Woo! My. The things that come into the church. Amen. And I'm very thankful tonight for this church. You've got a great foundation. You've had great leadership here for many, many years. You've had stable leadership. This pulpit has only known good and godly men that led you in right paths. And we're not trying to trivialize God or glorify man. And so, thank God for good leadership. Praise the Lord. Then the Scripture simply lets us know that the Spirit will always speak truth because it is the Spirit of truth. It'll never glorify itself. Amen. The Bible lets us know very quickly, the Lord said that He'll not share His glory with another. God's not going to share His glory with man. Amen. Because He simply is God. Let's see if we can kind of bring this to a little bit of a close here tonight. Make it as simple as we know how. We get accused sometimes as Pentecostals of maybe overemphasizing the Spirit, but how can you? Amen. I think one reason that maybe some groups don't talk a whole lot about the Holy Ghost is because they don't have it. When you get the Holy Ghost, you want to talk about it. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but the night I got the Holy Ghost, I got it on a campgrounds in Amarillo, Texas at youth camp. On June the 19th of 1967, Amarillo, Texas, on the old campgrounds, laying in the sawdust on the floor. Amen. That's where I got the Holy Ghost. As soon as I got it, when I got out of there, I'm telling you, everything smelled sweeter, looked brighter. It was the most glorious thing in the whole world. Felt like I was walking on air the whole time. It was wonderful. Amen. And I got to thinking, man, one of the first things I thought of was, I got to tell somebody about this. Amen. And I wanted to get on, right then, I wanted to somehow get downtown and just start telling people about what I just received. Amen. Of course, I was on campgrounds and youth camp. They don't let you young people off the campgrounds. Now I understand that very well. I worked youth camps for about 20 years. I understand really well why they don't let young people stray off. Amen. But I wanted to. I thought, man, everybody needs to hear about this. When you get the Holy Ghost, you want to tell people about it. Amen. I don't ever want to lose that either, do you? I want to keep that. Praise God. I want the whole world to know that this is real. Amen. So people that think we emphasize it too much, maybe they just haven't experienced what we've experienced. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Holly used to tell us another thing. He said, love seeks to become one with the object of its affection. Think about that just a minute. Love seeks to be one with the object of its affection. Do you know why people dress like Hollywood? You know why people cut their hair like certain other people? Try to wear clothes that certain other people wear? Do everything ever somebody else does? Because they love that, or think they do. They love the image of that person. They love what they project. Though they may not have any understanding of the person themselves. You walk and you look on some people's wall in their bedroom, and there they are. They're idols. Amen. And they're seeking to be one with the object of their affection. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, love does. What you love, that's what you seek to be like. And when you love Jesus Christ, you want to be like Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, well, I don't want to be a fanatic. I do. Isn't that what everybody... You know when people say, oh, he's a baseball fan. You know what that means? He's a fanatic about baseball. That's exactly what it means. Well, he's a football fan. That means he's a fanatic about football. Amen. Well, he's a... I don't know some of those names anymore. I'm kind of out of touch here. What's that little guy, Justin somebody, Bieber, Baber, whatever. Whatever. Amen. He's one of the new heartthrobs, I think, and I see his poster around and pictures of him. amen, and said, I'm a Justin fan. Well, what is that? You're a fanatic. Amen. So what's wrong with being a Jesus fan? Isn't that right? We're just seeking to become one with the object of our affection. I get around people, all they want to talk about is this football player, that basketball player, that baseball player, that singer, that movie star. Amen. You know why? Because that consumes them. Amen. They're in love with that image. Amen. But and when you get around people that love Jesus, they want to talk about Jesus because that's what consumes them and that's what they love. Nothing wrong with that. It's okay to be a Jesus fan. Somebody said, well, I just don't want to be a fanatic about what I believe. I do. Amen. I want to believe it from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Amen. When you see me coming, I got him on my mind. Amen. When you hear me singing, got him on my mind. Amen. Well, everything about you, you all day long, you got Jesus on your mind. If you love him, you got him on your mind. Praise the Lord. That's all right. Amen. That's how you affect the world. You know, again, this old world's going to try to squeeze mold. Isn't that odd that you can be fanatical about anything but Jesus Christ? And you can put anything you want down here on the square to celebrate Christmas except a picture of Jesus or a manger scene. But if it has something to do with Jesus, you can't do that. You can put, as Brother Marshall said, you can put flying reindeer and elves and carolers and anything else you want to put down. Nobody's going to say anything about that. Just have at it. But just don't put anything about Jesus down there. Isn't that odd? It brings a verse to my mind. Jesus said, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. In North America, did you know right here in North America, we can build schools to educate Muslims in their religion and support it with tax dollars? But you don't mention Jesus in the classroom and you don't put a Bible in the classroom. You can have a Quran and you can teach the Quran in a public school supported by tax dollars. But you can't do that with Jesus Christ. Not anymore. Amen. Praise God. You know why? That's exactly what he said. We're seeing prophecy fulfilled. Amen. That's where we are, folks. That's where we are. Amen. So just to bring this home today, who's this living in you? Who is this that's living in you? Amen. Well, he has different titles. Let's put it this way. As the Father, God tells us how to live. As the Son, God shows us how to live. And as the Holy Ghost, God enables us to live. So that just kind of boils it down. As the Father, he told us how. As the Son, he was our example. He showed us how. As the Holy Ghost daily enables us to live holy, righteously in this ungodly world. Amen. So that's who's living in you. God bless you. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time, your attention here tonight. Amen. I'm glad I have the Holy Ghost. How about you? And I'm glad I know that the Holy Ghost is living in me. Amen. That's all right, isn't it? Praise the Lord. It's still okay, even in 2011, to have the Holy Ghost on the inside. Amen. I'm looking forward to the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. I said, I'm looking forward to the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. Somebody said, well, Brother Grissom, it sure is getting tough. Amen. Well, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it sure is getting dark in the world. Whatever time it gets dark, the light's going to shine just a little bit brighter. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a time not to burn out or blow up, but it's a time to shine for Jesus Christ. There was ever a time when your testimony is vital and relevant. Today is the day. Amen. And we're coming to a time, friend, when it's gonna be crunch time. And a whole lot of these walls around denominations, I believe are going to start coming down, Brother Neil. I believe people are going to start getting the Holy Ghost because they're going to have the Holy Ghost. They're not going to be able to stand without it. I believe the Holy Ghost is going to start falling in places that they haven't allowed it to come before. I don't know about you, but I don't just pray for our church. I pray for churches in Athens, Texas. I want every church in this city to receive the Holy Ghost, baptize in Jesus' name, and get a revelation of holiness lifestyle. Amen. They don't have to be under this roof. They don't have to go to the Holy Ghost, to heaven from these pews. I don't care what name's on the church building. Amen. I want them to get the Holy Ghost, talking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. I want them to get a revelation of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. I want them to understand the one God in Christ. Hallelujah. I want them to understand holiness of living. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is that all right? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what about us, Brother Grissom? We'll take care of them. God will take care of us. Amen. I just want to see a revival like that. Praise the Lord. I want to see a revival like that. I believe we are. I believe that we are. And I believe God just wants to intensify what He's doing already. Thank you tonight for your time and your attention. Amen. I've seen that little course that says, I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible says. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible says. Oh, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. My soul got happy and I'm satisfied. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, just like the Bible, just like the Bible, just like the Bible says.